Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello, everybody. It's Joe McGee. We are talking about the great heroes of faith in the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, there are just innumerable stories of how God used normal, everyday people. Incredible miracles. This is one of my greatest series right here. Let me talk about David and how he kind of got a start. So we got to back up a little bit to Saul. Saul became king of Israel, and God really didn't want that. He wanted a prophet, but they had rejected that, and so he's been anointed as king. So in 1 Samuel chapter 14, it talks about the Philistines stayed in their own country because they were defeated by King Saul. He had made war against. Well, now Saul, he's got them whipped. Well, he starts making war against other people. So he sent out his soldiers, every strong army and every brave young man wanted to come be with Saul. Man, he's what's happening in Israel. Everybody wants to be part of it, get a uniform, and be with them. The problem was Saul began to think kind of highly of himself. And so the battle against the Amalekites was a great victory for Saul. But even though Saul had been told not to keep anything from the battle or take anything that belonged to their enemies, Saul took their king prisoner. Then they discovered that the Amalekites are valuable cattle. The Israelites decided, well, we'll save the best cattle for ourselves. Now, God had told them, when you go into this country, you kill everything. Everything and everybody. These are idol worshiping enemies. They've invaded my country. They've killed my people. They've killed the women and children. These are enemies. Saul, take your army and destroy them. Well, the problem was he kept their king. He said, well, he's a king. He understands what I understand. Maybe we can be friends. I've killed his army, so I think he can be my king. And then instead of killing all the cattle like God had told him to, well, it's a pretty good cattle. I mean, shoot, I like a good steak. Let's just keep some of them. So while Saul and his men marched back to their homes, the Lord spoke to the prophet Samuel. And God said to Samuel, I am sorry that I ever made Saul king. God said that. Now, man, that's a nasty statement. God said, you know, I'm sorry I ever made Saul king. He does not follow my ways anymore. He doesn't obey my commandments anymore. And Samuel, too, was greatly disappointed in Saul. All night long, he shed bitter tears and prayed for Saul. The next morning, Samuel went to meet Saul. When Saul saw the Lord's prophet coming, he said, you are blessed of the Lord. I have done just as God has commanded. He starts bragging to himself. Man, you're blessed, prophet. You're a blessed prophet, and I've done everything God said. Samuel looked straight into the king's eyes and said, what about the bleeding sheep and the lowing of the oxen that I hear? Saul exclaimed, well, they're from the battle. We brought back the best of the sheep and brought back the best of the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord. And Samuel told Saul how God had spoken to him during the night. Still, Saul tried to excuse himself and to blame the soldiers for wanting to keep the cattle. Everybody does it. When they get caught, well, it's their fault. It's not my fault. Your fault. It's not my fault. Samuel reminded Saul, you know, it's better to obey God than to offer him sacrifices. And since you have rejected the word of the Lord, God has rejected you as king of Israel. Then Saul cried out, I have sinned because I was afraid of the people. I did what they wanted. Go with me, I beg you, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel turned away from the king. Saul grabbed him by his coat. He said, Samuel said, just as you have torn my coat, because he tore his coat right off his back, the Lord has torn your kingdom away from you and giving it to your neighbor who is a better man. Again, Saul begged him, please, please, no, you don't understand. Please, please come with me to worship God. And again, Samuel went to Gilgal and offered a sacrifice upon the altar for the sins of the people. After this, Samuel never saw King Saul again. Samuel returned home to Ramah. He mourned and he wept as if Saul had died, for he knew God would not lead Israel while Saul was king. How much the Lord wanted a king who would follow his ways. Starting in chapter 16, as the days passed, God's got a king that he's rejected. The people don't know it yet. I mean, they didn't take out a billboard. Hey, by the way, your king's not your king anymore. He's still sitting on the throne. So Samuel still mourned for God because he turned away from God. How long will you mourn for Saul after I reject him? God said. God's mad at Samuel now. How long are you going to cry over this guy? I told you, he's not king anymore. He did what I asked him not to do. He sinned. He didn't repent. He just got caught. And so why are you still crying about it? Samuel raised his head, and he listened to God's word. Fill your horn with oil. I want you to go to Bethlehem and anoint the man that I have chosen to be the new king. At first, Samuel was afraid to go. He said, Lord, if Saul learns I'm going to anoint somebody else king, he's going to kill me. I mean, see, he's still human. Even the prophets of God are still human. He's thinking, man, that can get me killed. God told Samuel to take an offering and go to Bethlehem. Then Samuel was to offer a sacrifice and make a feast for the people. Among the guests, you were to invite Jesse and his sons. The Lord said, I have chosen one of Jesse's sons. I will tell you when you get there which one is to be Israel's next king. Now Samuel was not afraid to obey God's word. He quit crying, he filled his horn with oil, took a meat offering, started toward Bethlehem. When the rulers of the city saw Samuel coming, they were afraid. They said, why have you come? And Samuel explained, I've come in peace to sacrifice to the Lord. And Samuel invited them to come too. And Jesse and his sons were to come to the feast. Now Jesse had 8 sons, but only 7 came to the feast. The youngest kept his father's sheep in the fields outside the city. When Samuel looked, Eliah, Jesse's oldest son, the prophet, thought, surely this must be the man that God has chosen. Samuel said, he looks like a tall, handsome young man. He looks like a king. God told Samuel, that's not the man. You're judging from his looks. I'm looking at his heart. Then Jesse introduced his son, Abinadab, to the prophet. Samuel said, is this not the man God has chosen? One after another, Jesse brought his 7 sons before Samuel. The prophet took only one look and shook his head. God has not chosen any of these. Do you have another son? Jesse said, yeah, I've got one more, but we didn't bring him because he smells like sheep. He's a shepherd. He's out in the field. Right now he's in the field caring for the sheep. Send for him at once, Samuel said. Then we will not eat the feast until he comes. As they waited, the messenger hurried along to bring the boy to Samuel. How surprised David was to see the messenger running toward him. He knew his father and his brothers were attending a religious feast. They had been getting ready when he left home that morning to take care of the sheep. But now the messenger wondered, said, I wonder what's happened to my family. Quickly, David arose and pulled on his sheep's coat around him, and he took off running with his rod, and he ran to meet him. You are wanted in Bethlehem, the man said at once. Said, you are the old prophet. Samuel, the old prophet, wants to see you. Your father wants you to leave the sheep and come at once. Samuel waited finally. The rosy-cheeked, bright-eyed young shepherd boy entered the room. What a fine-looking young fellow he was. And the Lord told Samuel, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. Samuel poured oil over King's head as God had commanded. David knew this was a sign that he would one day be the leader of Israel. And so after the feast, everybody went home. No longer did they grieve about King Saul, for God had chosen a better person to be king. That goes on chapter 16. It says, David did not become king at once. Nobody put a crown on his head. Nobody voted. They didn't cheer. Matter of fact, his brothers were upset. Said after Samuel had known him, the boy returned to his father's fields near Bethlehem, cared for the sheep. But God sent his spirit into David's heart at the anointing. God sent his spirit into David's heart at the anointing. Got to say it again. God sent his spirit into David's heart at the anointing. Afterwards, David thought much about God, cared for his sheep, played sweet music on his harp, made up songs. He praised God, prayed all day long and all night long. Many of his songs are psalms that are recorded in the Bible. As a shepherd boy, David loved to be out of doors. He liked to see the change of the seasons, the hills, the valleys, the trees, the flowers, the animals. Everything reminded him of God, the Creator. David made songs about these things. He sang well. But just read through the book of Psalms. These are songs, most of them, that David wrote. And it said, we've seen that he was called the sweet singer of Israel. When Samuel told Saul what God had been rejecting, Saul did not take off his kingly robes and lay aside his crown. He acted as though nothing happened. He went on ruling the people as long as he lived. After Saul refused to obey God's commands, God took away the good spirit that he had given him. And Saul's heart and mind were troubled. He spent long days feeling downcast. Long before depression, long before walking in a drugstore, where's your depression medicine? Saul was depressed. Said he has heart and his mind were troubled. He had days of feeling downcast. He's despaired. He acted weird. There's almost nothing would give him peace. Nobody give him peace. He's upset all the time. He's losing his mind. He's losing his temper. The servants noticed the change had come over King Saul. They said to him, "An evil spirit's troubling you, master. Let us send for a young man who can play a sweet, soothing music on his harp. And when you hear the music, the evil spirit will have to leave you." Well, believe it or not, Saul felt so miserable he was willing to do anything. He said, "Find me a man who can play a harp well and bring him to me." Well, one of the servants said, "Hey, you know, Jesse, Bethlehem has a son who plays really well. We've heard him. He's a courageous young man, very tactful and handsome and godly. So I've seen the young man myself." When Saul heard this, he said, "Well, send for Jesse. Get him over here. Send me your son David." So Jesse called David from the field and told him about the king's message. After giving David a present for the king, Jesse sent him on his way. David played his harp for the king, and Saul's heart began to feel better. Soon he felt well again, and David and Saul listened to David's music, and he talked with him. Saul loved him greatly. Man, what a kid. What a great kid. I should have had a kid like this. He appointed David as his armor bearer, and Saul felt need for David so much that he sent word to Jesse, "Let David stay with me, for he pleases me greatly." And from that time, David spent much time at the palace. Whenever Saul's mind and heart were tormented, David was called in to play sweet music. They don't have, "Hey, somebody turn the music on. Turn the radio on." There's no radio. "Got David, though. Man, son, get that thing and pluck me a song right now." And said Saul, every time David would play, Saul would be relieved, refreshed, and he felt normal. Little did David know that Saul was no longer king, but he was going to be the new king. David learned much about the duties of a king as he served Saul. Already, he's filling his heart and his mind with things that he would need to know. You know, one of the great things is God doesn't just call you sometimes in a normal situation. You think, "Well, I don't really want to do that." Well, it's not your choice. I used to tell people, ministry is not a vocation. Ministry is not a vocation. It's a calling. You're called into the ministry. And so it's a choice. You say, "Yes, Lord." Or you can say no, but you're still called. You know, God, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance, the Bible says. And I met so many people traveling over these 26 years who are ministers who in their right mind thought, "Man, somebody's got to be better qualified than me." Because the Bible says God doesn't call many mighty. He doesn't call many strong. God uses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. So most of the people God calls look like, "Well, I don't think they'd be a good preacher. I don't think they'd be a good minister. I don't think they'd be good evangelists." Well, no, God's got a way of showing off. God uses the weak things of this world to confound the strong. The foolish things to confound the wise. God is a show off. And so I tell people, I don't care what you think about yourself, God thinks a whole lot more about you than you do. God has great plans for your life. All he wants you to do is just say yes and amen. "God, whatever you ask me to do, I'm going to do it. It's not my GPA. It's not my IQ. It's not how many degrees I have. It's not whether I even went to school at all. It's whether I'm willing and obedient." And the Bible says, if I'm willing and obedient, I will eat the good of the land. God will order my steps and he'll direct my paths. He will guide in all truth. He will show me things to come. God will talk to me when I go to sleep, when I wake up and I walk during the day. God will never leave me nor forsake me. So one of the greatest men of the Bible, David, had a really low start. You know, like I said, his dad brought the seven other brothers, didn't bring David. He's a sheep herder. He can't do anything. He's my youngest kid. And he just plucks that crazy guitar out there, sings to the sheep. No, God saw his heart. And that's why God told the prophet, "He's my next king, anoint him. You're judged from the outside. I judge from the inside. I've seen his heart. He's going to be my next king." Man, what an incredible story it was. So we're going to pick this up next time. Tune in again for the Heroes of Faith. We're going to learn how to live those victorious lives from other people that had the same weaknesses we have, but they knew how to get back up. God bless us, guys. Thank you for listening. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.